You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 10th, 2020, Hunter Biden acknowledging, yes, I am under a grand jury investigation involving tax affairs. Daddy's not part of this investigation. Now, some of the past dealings that Biden has had, Hunter Biden, with Chinese nationals, some flag for potential financial criminal activity. And some of the mainstream media is finally beginning to pick it up a bit because it's after the election. And Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, said the fact that Hunter is willing to talk about it involves a tax fraud investigation, probably the least damaging allegation against him. I second that point. And, of course, Congressman Eric Swalwell, still under attacked by Republicans saying you shouldn't even be in Congress. You were associating with a known Chinese spy, and on top of that, Nancy Pelosi then made you a member of the Intel Committee. And the Intel Committee members see things that other members of Congress never see. Well, Pelosi today is saying, I still stand by him. It's all good. It's over. There's nothing wrong. Did you expect any other answer? Sure. Surely you didn't, right? Well, the battle trying to get money to Americans who are struggling continues. Republican Missouri Senator Josh Hawley announcing some new legislation, direct coronavirus relief to all Americans and their families. His bill would give direct payments of $1,200 to all individual Americans, $2,400 to families, plus $500 per child. That'd be the same distributed to 80 million Americans back in April under the $2.2 trillion CARES Act. Senator Hawley said, Americans need direct payments now. Families are struggling. Unemployment claims are rising. Food lines are growing. It's time we act. It's past time, actually, isn't it? In the meantime, according to Johns Hopkins University data, the U.S. hitting another record daily COVID-19 death toll yesterday, 3,124. Again, I caution you, if there's anyone who lost a life in that time, regardless of whatever, we feel for them and their families lost. But I'm not willing to accept it's all tied to COVID. Are you? So how's that defunding police working out in Minneapolis? With the Police Officers Federation president coming forward and saying the decision by the Minneapolis City Council to move $8 million from the city's police force and put it into mental health and violence prevention programs, he said, you're decimating our police department. The number of working officers, the lowest it's been in 50 years. Murders, shootings, other violent crimes approaching record levels. Officers severely overworked, understaffed, and we cannot keep the public safe with these cuts. But the Minneapolis City Council said, no, this is what we want to do. It's going to make things better. Right. There was concern, of course, that Joe Biden might actually bring back Susan Rice in some capacity. She was even in the mix for a while as his running mate, and then maybe a Secretary of State. She didn't make the cut. But today Biden announced the former Obama National Security Advisor and U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, will lead the White House Domestic Policy Council. Susan Rice, the same one that went out and peddled the Benghazi lie on behalf of Obama and Clinton, that what happened in Benghazi was all because of a movie. Morocco moving forward, normalizing relations with Israel. That makes it the fourth Middle East country to do so this year. The fourth, joining the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan. Of course, the mainstream media ignores it because it's happening on Trump's watch. In the meantime, Time Magazine is trying to decide who's going to be the person of the year for 2020. And they are saying the following are on the final list. One, the movement for racial justice in general, Dr. Anthony Fauci, frontline healthcare workers, Joe Biden, or Donald Trump. If you're placing your money, do not put it on Trump. That would be just throwing it away. Stand by for the rest of the program.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand, and Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The warning signs are there. If someone gets hurt, if someone gets killed, the blood is on all of their hands. The people who are saying nothing, the people who are going along with this, this isn't a game. This isn't a charade. This is a deliberate effort to make a big chunk of this country live inside of a conspiracy theory that could radicalize them to commit acts of violence.
So says Ben Rhodes, former Deputy National Security Advisor during the Obama administration, saying basically if there's violence in the streets, it's all going to be on Donald Trump's hands. Well, riddle me this. Who would you blame for the violence we've seen in the street before the election? Who would you blame for store owners across the nation, especially high-end store owners and even as low, and I don't mean to dismiss them, but they're not Saks or Neiman's or Louis Vuitton. I mean, about dollar or less, or five below, whatever those stores are. All of them having to board up their windows in anticipation of violence that would come on election night and the days to follow. The belief was, by many, that it would be clear Trump had won. And the group in the street looting, setting fires, as we've seen previously, would they be Trump supporters? No. Nope. But again, it's what the left is trying to peddle, that everybody who is a Trumper, you're racist, you're misogynistic, you're xenophobic, and you're violent. You are as Obama had used the term, clutching your Bible and gun. Well, I plead guilty to that. But that doesn't mean I'm in the street causing violence. This was Ben Rhodes appearing last night on MSNBC's Deadline. He said all this claims continuing to be claims of Donald Trump about election fraud that's going to lead to this kind of violence. It's conspiracy theory. Trump has made the claim that Biden will be an illegitimate president. And, of course, you'd hear the left say, we never said that about Trump. Yes, you did. You did by your actions of immediately starting the resist movement. And I don't mean just in the streets, on every level you could. And, of course, you had the mainstream media not only carrying the water for you, charging ahead for you. The mainstream media has never given Donald Trump approval for anything. And so when this story broke the other day by Project Veritas, showing some of these production meetings involving the president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, the president sitting in on production meetings of what's to be covered that day, you certainly got the idea that they were going full out, constantly assaulting. Ben Rhodes has his own set of baggage, which we'll get to here shortly, and part of it involves his brother. But back to his statement, his claim, that anything that goes wrong, anything goes upside down, you blame it on Trump.
He's seeking to convince a significant part of the American public that this election was illegitimate and that it was stolen. And let's be very clear, what he's saying is insane and absurd. It's akin to pointing at the sky and saying it's not blue, it's green. And yet we've seen, because of the spread of conspiracy theory, because of the size of the megaphone that Trump has, because of the nature of social media, people are more than willing to live inside of that reality. And the Republicans are going along with it.
Well, because many Republicans also say there's questions here. I mean, there's still some serious questions. We have the Texas lawsuit, joined by, I think, 16 other states at this point, challenging the results that came out of four states, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Those four states represent 62 electoral votes. And the challenge is not even questioning how the votes were counted, how they were handled, or anything, but how those states violated the U.S. Constitution and deprived other states of what their elections mean because they illegally changed their election laws without going through their state legislature, as required. That some political boss or even a state Supreme Court, in the case of Pennsylvania, basically said, because of the COVID, we're going to change everything dealing with mail-in ballots. We'll move the dates around. They don't have to be in on time like normal, so forth and so on. They did everything possible. Those are worth an inquiry, and those may or may not be enough for the Supreme Court to say, let's hear these cases out. Again, we're expecting maybe in this hour, those four states are supposed to be giving their answer to the U.S. Supreme Court as to how they respond to allegations that they violate the Constitution. And if at least four of the Supreme Court justices, when they meet tomorrow, apparently in private, to discuss it, if at least four of them say there's enough here for us to have a full hearing on it, then Monday you might well see the case being argued in U.S. Supreme Court. Or you may not. Depends on what they decide. That decision may come late tomorrow or sometime over the weekend. We do know this. The Senate is going to hold a hearing next week on irregularities that took place. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, said, I am mindful many issues have been raised and will continue to be appropriately resolved in the courts, but the fact remains that a large percentage of the American public does not view the 2020 election result as legitimate because of apparent irregularities that have not been fully examined. The only way to resolve suspicions is with full transparency, and public awareness. That will be the goal of the hearing. So it's set for December 16th. They might have witnesses. Names of them might be coming out next week. In addition to witnesses and officials, whistleblowers, data experts, various fraud and other experts may come forward. There are still questions. I mean, legitimate questions. Let's just deal with Georgia and that issue about those boxes pulled out from under that draped desk. Additional video has finally been released showing that one of the supervisors in the room brought the table in at some point. And then later a drape was put over it. And later these cases were put up under the drape. And from what I've seen on the video, I'm not saying it's knows all, tells all, but from what I'm seeing on the video, that is the only table in the room that has a drape over it. And it's only from under that table that these containers were pulled out after everyone basically went home. The observers and everybody, they say they were told it's all over for the night, we're done counting. So they all left, but then after they left, then they bring these boxes out, and then apparently they continue counting. And in fact, the Fulton County Election Board spokesman admitted that, yes, we counted ballots for about 80-plus minutes during that time. That's a clear violation right there. Whether or not you were properly counting them and verifying them, you're supposed to have observers. And the other part of the story is the observers, when you see the video, they're at the far end of the room. They're basically down near the door and they're roped off, can't go inside any closer. Not even within 6 feet. And the machines where the tabulations are being submitted and pushed into the machine are at the other end of the room. So there are numerous questions that just need to be resolved. I will not stand here and say that that is proof of fraud. I won't do it. I will say it deserves a full inquiry. What was going on, what actually were in the boxes for sure, and if they're already willing to admit, yeah, we counted ballots for about 80 minutes with no one there, however many ballots they went through in those 80 minutes, they should be tossed immediately. And I don't know which side they would help or hurt the most. Problem is, we just want fairness. I can accept any decision as long as it's fair. What I don't want to hear in the future is looking back, say, "Oh yeah, our bad. We didn't do that right." And yeah, those four states that they told him we should have done that. And yeah, I guess Trump should have won, but he didn't. So we're past it. Goodbye. And of course, you've got folks trying to stir up more. You're talking about inciting something. Ben Rhodes and his remarks on MSNBC. And saying if there's blood in the streets, it's going to be on President Donald Trump's hands because of his claims of election fraud. Just listen, please.
From a national security perspective, how many warning signs do you need? We had a plot to kidnap and potentially kill the governor of Michigan. We've had people showing up armed in front of places. We've had Republican officials sounding an alarm. If you said the warning signs are there. If someone gets hurt, if someone gets killed, the blood is on all of their hands. The people who are saying nothing, the people who are going along with this, this isn't a game. This isn't a charade. This is a deliberate effort to make a big chunk of this country live inside of a conspiracy theory that could radicalize them to commit acts of violence. And this needs to be taken seriously and shut down by responsible adults before this becomes just a part of the political backdrop of this country for the next several years.
And Ben Rhodes considers himself being one of the responsible adults. The rest of us are just children. And I would remind you, how many times did we hear from the left over the last 4 years that Trump was an illegitimate president? Because Russian collusion, for one thing. And because of other things that were dangerous and illegal. They never accepted him as a president. And now they want to take the high moral ground and say, You guys have got to accept this. You can't continue to claim election fraud. You can't continue to claim that Trump is right, that Biden is an illegitimate elected president. You're not allowed to do that. They were, of course, you know, and you know why, because they were correct. You're wrong. That's what it comes down to. They're smarter than you. You're just some hillbilly. All you know is to cling to your Bible and your gun, right? We are Ivy League educated. We run with the right people, the people in the know, the smart people, the beautiful people. You not so much. I just finished watching on Netflix Manhunt Games, dealing with the Atlanta bombing and Richard Jewell story, and then the hunt for the real bomber that followed later, and all the stories that were done about Jewell. And of course, he was a hero until they decided to make him not so much. And the FBI, it pointed out at the end, the FBI has yet to say that it was wrong to accuse him of being involved. Because once some of them locked down, they just will not change. And Ben Rhodes doesn't change his stripes. And you do know about his relationship with Network News, don't you? Well, if you don't, I want to tell you. The rest of us, we're going to enjoy it. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Ben Rhodes, you were hearing a moment ago, that says if there's any blood in the streets when this election is finalized, it will be on the hands of Donald Trump and Trump supporters, because you got Trump out there saying it's going to be an illegitimate presidency if Biden gets in. Ben Rhodes was a deputy national security advisor in the Obama administration from 2009 to 2017. He had a very good relationship with the mainstream media. One in particular, CBS News. Because during the time of 2009-2017, he's in the Obama White House as national security advisor. His brother, David Rhodes, was president of CBS News starting in 2011, a couple years after Rhodes became joined at the hip with Obama. Now, what kind of information do you think got scattered back and forth between the White House staffer under Obama and David Rhodes, his brother, the president of CBS News? And if you're looking to explain why CBS covered some stories the way they did, there's your connection. If you have questions about how CBS got ahead of the other networks on something, there's your connection. And the other networks know it. I mean, they're not stupid. They also have various ties with people scattered throughout the Obama administration, but none like Ben Rhodes. No one had a better and tighter connection than Ben Rhodes and his brother being the president of CBS News. So you wonder, I know you don't, but there's a clear explanation as to how and why the mainstream media is doing what it has been doing. Rhodes got hit a little bit in a New York Times magazine, Ben Rhodes I'm talking about, because he was making fun of the D.C. press corps and boasting about how he created, quote, an echo chamber to market the administration's foreign policy, including the international nuclear agreement with Iran. Rhodes clearly said, whatever I say, they take and they repeat. And you know why? In part, because CBS was going to do it. And if it's on CBS, the other network, so we got to do the same thing. We can't ignore it. That's kind of one of those things that you think, why was it more made of it at the time? Why didn't people speak out more about it? Well, because that's not the way they do. Not in the mainstream media. You got to have a reason, and you also have to have something that's really damning. And this is just a brother relationship. I do my thing. He does his thing. And we're supposed to believe nothing got exchanged between the two of them during those years. Do you accept that? Right. Coming up in the next segment, I want to spend a great deal of time on our current Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and his warning about how China is infiltrating our nation, specifically our colleges and universities, how he says they are basically sold out to Beijing. You don't want to miss this. Coming up, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same song. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
For a long time, Republicans, Democrats, leaders all across academia, institutions, commercial space, thought that by trading and engaging with China, that the Chinese Communist Party would reform itself. It would loosen up, it would embrace economic and political freedom, and it would present less risk to freedom around the world. But instead, that's not what we got. Instead, the Chinese Communists used the wealth that was created by this to tighten their grip on power, their grip on power over the Chinese people, and to build a high-tech, repressive state like the world has never seen.
Those are the words of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking yesterday at Georgia Tech University. And as you heard him say, many did believe that if we work with China, if we get them involved in the entrepreneur spirit, that they'll change. And Pompeo made it very clear. His argument and his points are not against the Chinese people, but the leadership, specifically the Communist Chinese Party leadership. He said the CCP has no intention of changing, and yet we thought, well, maybe they will. Maybe he didn't say it, but maybe the thought was, you know, we'll tear that wall down like we did in Berlin. You know, Russia would be broken apart. Maybe. And Pompeo pointed out that the U.S. actually is leading in many fields right now. But the Chinese communists are quickly learning how to use us for their purpose.
Chinese Communist Party scientists aren't pioneering cancer cures. We are. And it's not North Korean biochemists that are producing safe COVID vaccines. We are. And Iranians aren't ahead in supercomputing. No, in fact, we are. It is the free world and free peoples that produce these superior results. And we should be very proud of that fact. But we have an obligation to protect it, to preserve it, to make sure that that's the case 10 and 50 and 100 years from now.
So it's very clear as he lays out that we're the pioneers, not them. And we need to protect that. He mentions 100 years from now. I know a lot of folks, I can't even think of 10 years from now, 5 years, maybe next year. But you have to have long-range goals because I will guarantee you the communists have some long-range goals. Once again, the words of Secretary of State Pompeo.
The Chinese Communist Party knows it can never match our innovation. A state-owned enterprise, its authoritarian regime, it is a government-centric focus. It's why it sends 400,000 students a year to the United States of America to study. 400,000 students a year studying in our universities come from one country. It is no accident. Much of the high-end industrial base inside of China is based on stolen technology or technology purchased from other nations. It's not homegrown. Beijing doesn't want Chinese researchers to stay here in the United States. Indeed, after they're trained, they want them to come back. They want to induce their return for the singular purpose of serving the socialist motherland.
Yeah, they will allow them to come into our nation, sending 400,000 in. But when they've got what they need, they're supposed to turn around and go back to the motherland and share the information and the knowledge, not to benefit the country and the people, but the Communist Party. See, that's a key point. And I'm glad Pompeo, in his address yesterday, made it clear to the audience, said, look, do not take my words as anything against the Chinese people. He said, they're subjects. They're not really allowed to do anything anyway. It's not them. You've got the leadership, and it is a communist leadership. So they have their students go into the schools, learn what they can, and then come home. And more importantly, he points out, not only are they taking information and going home, they are planting a seed in many cases at our universities, colleges, institutions of higher learning, because they are seeing what we've been doing in this nation over recent years. And they consider that to be a fertile ground for them to plant this seed. And they're getting support when they look around and see people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the squad being elected, and the far, far, far left view of Bernie Sanders and others. They realize that we are ripe. We as a nation, and in particular some schools, and most specifically young minds, are ripe for being indoctrinated.
They know that left-leaning college campuses are rife with anti-Americanism and present easy targets for their anti-American messaging. That's why they planted Confucius Institutes on our campuses. And under President Trump, our State Department has made very clear these Confucius Institutes are literally up to no good. Many have gone away. Many campuses have seen that, and they've chosen to close down these institutes. But right here in Georgia, Wesleyan College still has one in Macon. Look, it's why there are groups on campuses called Chinese Student Scholars Association here, too. They're directed and almost always funded by the Chinese embassy or a local Chinese consulate. Its purpose, to keep tabs on students and to press pro-Beijing causes.
That pretty well sums up what they're doing, doesn't it? They're being directed, almost always funded by the Chinese embassy or local Chinese consulate, in part to keep tabs on students, which includes those that they send in and other students, and to press constantly causes supporting Beijing. And the schools, what are they doing? They're being silent.
Now, you would think at freedom-loving places like Georgia Tech and institutions and scholars all across the world, administrators, school faculty would be more up in arms about the Chinese Communist Party's outright theft and flagrant violation of freedoms that I've described. But we see it too seldom. Well, why? Why do schools censor themselves? They often do it out of fear of offending China.
Boom. We cannot do anything that might offend China. Of course, for them, they're often looking at on the campus of the students, our Chinese friends and our visiting students. We don't want to offend them. But it also relates to the country as a whole, and not just the country, but the Communist Party, because there's a true quid pro quo in play. Now, Pompeo, and I'll come back to that point in a moment, but Pompeo in his speech made it very clear. I can deliver this speech here at Georgia Tech, but there are a lot of schools, they're not going to let me stand up here and make these statements.
MIT wasn't interested in having me to their campus to give this exact set of remarks. President Raphael Reif implied that my arguments might insult their ethnic Chinese students and professors. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Those are the very people that this set of remarks is intended to protect their freedoms. And I must say that yielding to the objection of hurt feelings plays right in to the Chinese Communist Party's hands. They watch America closely.
And we know why, because they see that we, I offended you. I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm a racist. I feel guilty. I'm white. I feel guilty. I was born in this nation. I should be beaten repeatedly. They're going to play upon whatever guilt that you're going to allow to be shoved down your throat, and you're going to accept it. And when it comes to political correctness, it is clearly a good weapon for Chinese communists, because they know the power of that, quote, political correctness. Of course, in their country, you will not be showing any political incorrectness, or they will disappear you. But here, they know how to weaponize political correctness.
Look, we can't let the CCP weaponize political correctness against American liberties. We have to protect and preserve them. Fraudulent cries of racism or xenophobia should never drown out a candid exposure of the activities of the Chinese Communist Party. But we see too often on American campuses that there's silence and censorship. It's been driven by the Chinese Communist Party. It usually boils down to something far less idealistic. So many of our colleges are bought by Beijing.
So many of our colleges are bought by Beijing. He points out that U.S. schools since 2013 have taken $1.3 billion from China. They're definitely being bought. And the students from China, while they're here, they're also living in fear. Other students, not so much.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
American students talk about safe spaces as shelter from ideas they dislike. Chinese students need safe spaces to learn of the ideas that they love. What a stark contrast. Students from China at American universities also live in fear that their families back home will be arrested, will be interrogated, tortured, or worse because of the things they say in an American classroom.
Again, the words of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday at Georgia Tech. When he talks about students on our college campuses saying, oh, we need safe space. I need a room where I can go with a coloring book and just kind of doodle and kind of feel safe again and not be so aggravated and upset. I just need a calming place. How's that working for those of you in the real life? How does that work? And yet we've got young people that believe that wholeheartedly, and they've got parents that endorse it. And we've got universities that end up providing, quote, the safe space for them to go gather themselves. But as the Secretary of State said, Chinese students, 400,000 a year come here from China to our institutions. They need safe spaces, not to go hide from something that offended them, but where they can study what they want to learn, something that might be new and about free and a world away from communism. And they need a safe place where they can say something in the classroom and then not get back to the homeland where their relatives might be in jeopardy. And in fact, Pompeo talked about one particular student's situation.
Let me tell you about Vera Zhou. She's a permanent resident of the United States of America. She's originally from China and a senior at the University of Washington. In October of 2017, so just on 3 years ago, she returned to China to visit her father. Local authorities put her in a re-education camp. A re-education camp for 5 months and under house arrest for 18 months after using a virtual private network connection to connect to her school's website. Something many of you are doing even as I speak.
And that was her sin. And thereby, they punished her or re-educated her. We have so many in this nation that still do not really understand the values and the freedoms we have. If they did, they wouldn't continually knock and assault them. And they would do a lot more to stand up and defend them and speak on behalf of them and honor those who are doing it. But the leftists are making it easy for China to make these kinds of inroads. And when these Chinese students come here, some of them, you could classify them right away as a spy. That's what they're here for, and they're going to go back, and they're going to perform their duties. But they might be doing it under duress anyway, threats to their family. Some are really coming to learn and maybe see the American way of life, and they kind of fall into it. I like this, but they don't dare say anything. And they have to be very, very cautious as to what they might say in a class or anything they might write or anything they might discuss in a group discussion outside of class. Because they know in their country there are always ears that are listening. We don't want to live like that in this world. And we can't really understand that unless we have lived in it. And for those in China that are only given a storyline of how bad the U.S. is and how we are going to destroy them, that's our intent and so forth, that's all they're ever going to get. Unless one of these students goes home and dares in absolute secrecy, says, I liked what I saw in the U.S. I liked the people. I mean, the opportunity. Not a common socialist, communist approach. But they best hope that even that close relative or friend does not suddenly turn and repeat what they said and attribute it to them. So all of these snowflakes in our universities and colleges who need a safe place to sit in color because they got offended, I just wish they had heard that kind of speech from Pompeo about how the Chinese students need a safe place just to express what they believe. They are here for a period of time, and then they're back in their country, probably. And they take back what we give them. Sometimes to our detriment, but maybe sometimes to their future, a better future. Thank you for listening. Let your friends and neighbors know. This will be on a podcast shortly, Larry Connors USA Facebook. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.